If you appreciate the choir singing, say amen. Amen. I appreciate that good singing tonight and what they were singing about. I want to tell you, you can't go wrong singing the Word of God. I'm just being honest with you. And it'll do to preach. Amen. It's all right to sing it too. That's what them psalms are for. They sang them psalms. They even had a choir that sung them. Some of the Levites were in charge. Asaph for one. I think Chenaniah was another. They was put in charge of doing all that. Amen. Well, it's come time for our final message tonight. I appreciate Brother Mark Stroud, how God touched him last night in the service. I praise God for that. He's the pastor of Wahoo Baptist Church above Gainesville, Georgia. I want you to hear him gladly while he comes to preach to us and carry out the services. You feel led of the Lord. Love you, son.
All right, if you've got your Bible, open it with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter number 2. Wow, wasn't that good singing? What about you? But I'm glad he's the lifter of my head. Amen. There's been a time or two in the last 24 years of being saved or being called to preach that he's had to lift my head. Amen. But I thank God he's got the power to do it. Amen. He delivered Israel with an outstretched arm. And if he can bring the nation of Israel out with an outstretched arm, neighbor, he can lift mine and your head up in this hour. And I thank the Lord for it. My, what's, they could just about sung that all again. I like that kind of singing that exalts Christ. Amen. We were talking at lunch today and about just the new, this newfangled music and things of that nature. I told the folks at the table, I said, if I'd have wanted to stay like the world and sound like the world, I'd have stayed lost. Amen. If I wanted my music to sound like MTV, I'd have stayed lost. I like, thank God, the way we do it. Amen. I don't believe it's a preference. I believe it's a biblical mandate. Amen. And that kind of singing right there, when you sing the Word of God and you're exalting Christ, that's what it's about. And I praise God, Brother Jordan. That was wonderful. Thou, O Lord. What? I mean, can you get past O Lord? I mean, how, this morning we couldn't get past He cares. I mean, for God's sake, we shouted for an hour on two words, He cares. And you know what? I'm glad He does. Amen. I still feel pretty good down in my soul on the fact that He cares. Amen. Amen. I thought about my brother that I think you're right back there on my left, went to the church and God helped you with the roof. God, not only you thought you just needed a roof for the church, but He gave you a roof for the parsonage and a roof for everything else. And I thought about the Brother Smeltzer's, I believe, daughter-in-law, if that's right. She said I was a little bus girl, and now look what God's done. What about God cares for them little bus kids? I'm not trying to one-up anybody. I just thought I'd tell you He loves other people other than us. I thought I've been at the church this year will be 15 years. It's hard to believe. But we got in there about 5 years into it, I guess. And man, we needed some help. God had blessed us. We were bringing kids in to preach to them. And man, God had begun to bless us. And we didn't have anywhere to put them. And we didn't have a fellowship hall and didn't have a big place where we could handle those kids. We bring them in on Wednesday nights and we feed them supper. Hard to preach to a hungry child. Yes. Amen. Don't get nervous. Amen. I heard people say one time, they said, well, we're just old-fashioned. We don't believe in feeding them. One of my senior saints said, well, I guess Jesus fed them, said, I don't guess you get more old-fashioned than that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. You'd be dangerous if you read your Bible. You can sure shut a whole lot of things up along the way. Amen. 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 We needed a place to reach them kids. Didn't have a mom and dad that would bring them to church. And we just remodeled the church and spent everything we had. And man, we was a praying that God do something. I didn't know what to do. So we just asked Him sort of like you did, Lord, would you do something? And Man about two, right into somewhere one Sunday night, one of my men walked in and said, "Preacher, can I see you in your office?" I said, "You sure can." We walked downstairs. He's squalling. They just sold a business. He said, "Preacher," he said, "we've been trying for a month to pray about what to do and how to invest this money." And he said, "You know, we need a building to reach these bus kids and feed them and preach to them." And he said, "You know, preacher, which you might not know, I got saved." He said, "I got saved 40 years ago on a bus. Somebody picked me up out of a drunken home and took me to church and preached to me." He slid a check across the table for $40,000 and said, "Maybe that'll get a building fund started." I said, "We'll take up an offering in 2 weeks." Man, I went to church in 2 weeks and we took up an offering. I was excited. $8,000 above our tithing offering to go toward that. I thought, man, we got $50,000. I got a call on Wednesday morning. One of our shut-in deacons called me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "could you come by on the way to church tonight?" He said, "I got a little something. Miss Lou and I didn't get to be there on Sunday to participate in the offering. And he said, I really want to do something to be a blessing. And could you come by? You won't even have to come in. Just come by." I went and knocked on the door. Riley, my 16-year-old, was about 5 at the time, and we were going to church, and I knocked on the door. Brother Red rolled his wheelchair to the door, slipped a check in my hand. I went back out to the car and opened it up, and maybe you're more spiritual than I. You just went and put it in the offering plate, but I didn't do that. I looked at it. Amen. I unfolded. I turned the overhead light. It was in the winter. And I overturned the overhead light on and turned that check over. And it said, "Paid to the order of the Wahoo Baptist Church for $250,000. Let me say that again. I didn't say 25, and I didn't say 250, and I didn't say 2,500, and I didn't say 25,000. Neighbor, the only time I ever saw that kind of money when I was working in the bank, amen. And I was giving the bank's money to somebody else. And I began to weep in the car, and my little boy said, "Daddy, what's wrong?" And I said, "Son, I'm not crying about what's wrong. I said, I'm crying about what's right." And I thought about, what about that? God didn't give that to a millionaire. God didn't give that to some Wall Street executive or some hedge fund manager. But there was a little Hispanic child, or there was a little white child whose mom and dad didn't care enough to get sober up on Sunday morning, or some little black child that couldn't make their way to the house of God. But there was somebody who cared enough. What about the God of heaven? I looked down and looked at a group that couldn't do anything for him, and maybe they didn't smell good, or maybe they didn't look good, but what about the fact he didn't love the religious bunch? He didn't love the one who had all the religious pedigree, but he loved that little child tucked in the back of a trailer park somewhere with doors hanging off. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he cares. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And Brother Key said this morning, he'd been preaching about God can. I've been preaching about God can and wondering how God was going to finish that up. Last year, we went into the month of November. We owed about $120,000. Cost us about $850,000 to build that before it was over. Before we got all the money raised, had a $400,000 cash. I'm talking about a little mountain church. Up and listen, we're so far in the country, the people from the city don't even want to drive up to come to church. Amen. Somebody said, where are you? I said, we got power 3.5 weeks ago. Praise God. Amen. I mean, neighbor Wahoo, they ain't but one of them. Amen. One of the men come to me and said, "Preacher, y'all pray for my doubt." He said, "Preacher," he said, "we'd really like to pray. I think God might just do something special. I think God might even pay this note off this month." I thought, well, let's pray. And in my mind, I thought, man, I've been praying that for a year. 20 days. God sent $130,000 outside of the church, $110,000, $20,000 inside the church, and paid that note off. You say, what'd we do, Brother Gillum? I'll tell you what we did. We took the first day of the year of the next year. We just had a celebration day. What'd we do? We got together. We didn't ask him for a thing. We didn't have a prayer request. Neighbor, all we did that day was celebrate. This crowd had shouted. That crowd had shouted. And we'd shout. And I'd rejoice. You say, why? Because it ain't just that God could. I want to just say to you, man of God, you may be struggling. I wonder when God's going to do it. God may break through at any moment and do just exactly. He may send a hailstorm. He said, may send a little shut-in deacon, honey, to drive a little bitty pickup truck, and you'd have never known. But I'm telling you, God has still got the ability to do it again in this hour. Brother Kiever, I got your picture on my phone of you standing in your pea patch. And I believe we'll just stand in our pea patch. God can put the peas on the vine, praise God. Amen. I'm still tore up by that. God, what about that? I mean, God paid for the roof. I mean, God sent the storm and tore it up just right that the insurance company wanted to fix it. Amen. To God be the glory. Brother Jordan, I didn't hear the testimony about the pianos. I'm just saying God still can. I believe, Brother Soup, you're in a new church. Amen. Amen. Everybody, I'm just testifying. You know, when I used to play ball, I'd stretch a little bit. I should have stretched a little bit last night. I felt like I was drowning before God got in and helped me a little bit. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Maybe you wouldn't say that, but I will. I mean, amen. I'm glad God said, you know what? I sat there in that truck, and these were my thoughts. I didn't get to read that in the book. And Brother Willard didn't tell me. Brother Edgar didn't tell me. But God the Holy Ghost sat up in the truck with me and said, I did that for you. I did that for you. You say, what'd you do? I don't even think I preached that Wednesday night. I think I squalled and shouted and ran around and acted like that on a Wednesday night. Amen. Amen, friend. You say, well, he can do that for you. Let me tell you something. If he can do it for little Wahoo Baptist Church, tucked up in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, I mean, we've been there 196 years. I mean, good God in heaven, if he can do it for me and do it for our little church, he can do it for wherever you're at. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Everybody okay? I'm getting loose a little bit now. Amen. I'm stretching my arms a little bit. I wish you'd pray for me like it was you preaching up here. I wish it was as easy as Brother Bagwell makes it seem. Amen. And Brother Joe, and we were, Brother Joe and I were preaching for Brother Hudson, and Brother Tony got happy on that song. I tell you, the best thing I ever did do, I put off the old coat and put on the new, and he got happy and started picking. He picked up his pulpit and walked around stuck the microphone in his mouth while he's carrying his pulpit. Brother Joe looked at me. He said, well, Brother Mark, you got to preach this afternoon. He said, if you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost, you can pick up that pulpit. I said, Brother Joe, if you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you couldn't pick up that pulpit. I said, so you just better climb it. And for God is my witness, in an hour and a half, he was on top of it, preaching on the Rose of Sharon. Amen. 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 So I hope you'll pray for me. Mark chapter number 2. I'm interested in one word. It don't mean I'm going to preach a little, but I'm interested in one word. I preach. Other than Psalm 126 for Father's Day, 5 verses, and I preached an hour. I didn't mean to. One of my boys come up and said, preach a short chapter, long message. Amen. You listen fast, and I'll preach fast. Amen. The Bible said, if you'll stand, let's let you stretch your legs for a moment. The Bible said in verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They didn't realize how right they were. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven them, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You can be seated. Boy, there's a lot of phrases in those 12 verses that you could take a text and begin to preach. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could take that text? It was noised about. It was noised that he was in the house. Amen. I tell you, this morning when God began to blow, Miss Shelby and them began to sing the song, He Cares, Praise God. It wasn't long till it got a little noisy on that side. And then it got a little noisy in the middle and a little noisy on the right side. And then when Brother Gillum came to preach and began to get us to celebrate, I'm glad that we don't have to wait till the other world to celebrate the good things of God and the blessings that he has for us. But neighbor, it got a little noisy. Amen. I tell you what, I like it. Listen, it doesn't bother me when it's loud. It doesn't bother me when it's still. It doesn't bother me when they're running. It doesn't bother me when they're weeping. I felt like I should have took a lap with you just to let you know, thank God, we ought to cheer them on. We'd cheer you if you'd hit a triple. We'd cheer you if you'd hit a double. But thank God, you are glorifying God Almighty. I tell you, Mom and Dad, you ought to get some priority cheering. You cheer them for this and you cheer them for that. When's the last time you cheered them on? When they got happy, when they got right with God, when they sold out to the Lord, you ought to cheer your children on. Amen. I like it when it gets a little noisy every once in a while. Amen. But I don't want to preach on that verse. What about that phrase at the end where they said they never saw it on this fashion before? I don't know about you, but I'm looking for some things that I've never seen before. I'm looking for God to do some things in our little church that I've never seen before. You say, what are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to enjoy seeing it when it comes to pass. Amen. But that's not the phrase. Can I tell you this? What we have seen helps us believe God for what we've not seen. Amen. I mean, listen, if you're a pessimist and you believe there ain't no hope in this world, I tell you what, if you'll just let me go to my truck after the service, don't come speak to me. Don't come try to take the joy out of my heart, because you're still looking at a preacher that believes God's got to work in this hour. I still believe there's hope. I believe as long as there's breath in one of God's men, there's hope for this world to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody doesn't believe, what's those little boys going to do in 20 years when some of you senior saints are gone and they're not you here to shout and you here to run the aisles and you here to dance and praise God? What are they going to do? I tell you, God help us in this hour. We need God to do it again. Amen. Look at verse number 1. I'm on that word again. I didn't come. I called. I preached another thought this evening. But as the day went on, I couldn't get a word away from that little word again. I said last night, they told John, go show John again. But tonight the Bible said, and again. I got to looking today about that little word, and. If you'll study the book of Mark, there's over 460 verses that begin with that little conjunction, and. Out of the entire 678, I mean, it's prevalent all the way through of the book of Mark. What are you saying, preacher? Is that not how the Lord has done us? He saved us and. He saved us and. He filled us with the Holy Ghost and. He called us to preach and. He gave us a Bible and. You say, so what is celebrating 53 years? It's celebrating 53 years of and. I'm glad, thank God, God has got the ability to connect Jesus. Amen. That little word "and" connects that thing that used to be to the thing that shall be. I'm glad, thank God, when I got born again. I'm glad I got anded to some things. I'm glad I got joined to some things. I'm glad I got conjuncted to some things. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got in the on the little end of a big thing. Why? Because God anded me in. Amen. God anded me in. If you'll notice that God, that goodness we were passing by last night, it was and, praise God. And. He said, and again. He entered in to Capernaum. I like what Oliver B. Green said years ago. He said, no man deserves to hear the gospel twice until every man's heard it once. Amen. And dear time, friend, what about that? All those cities he could have gone to. But preacher, the Bible said again he entered into Capernaum. But can I tell you, praise God, I'm glad there's been some ands. I'm glad there's an and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, wilt thou not revive us again? Genesis said, and Jacob digged again in the wells that were digged in the days of Abraham his father. It said about Samson, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. The Bible said the Lord spake unto me again. Jeremiah said he put the clay on the potter's wheel again, and he made it over again as it seemed good to the potter. I don't know about you, but I need more than one chance. I've made more than one mistake. But blessed be God. I'm glad I've got a God who knows the meaning and the definition and the illustration and the explanation of that little word again. Amen. 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 Did you get saved first time God convicted you, Brother Rule? How about you, Brother Steve? How about you, Brother Fox? How many of you didn't get saved the first time God convicted you? Raise your hand. You did not get saved the first time you ever got under conviction. How many of you got saved the first time you got under conviction? How many of you need to get saved tonight? Maybe there's a whole lot of hands that go up either way. Maybe we ought to come sing "Just As I Am," praise God. Amen. Brother Brent, did you get in the first time you got under conviction? So if it hadn't been for again, you'd have went to hell. How about it, Brother Lane? Did you get in when you got under conviction the first time? How about it, Brother Kiever? Did you get saved the first time God ever spoke to you? No. But what did he do? He just came back again, and he came back again, and he came back again. What about it, sir? Did she marry you the first time you walked up? No. What did you have to do? You had to come back again and come back again. But aren't you glad? Thank God. Oh, we've got a God in heaven who knows what it is. The book of Mark, Brother Bagwell, is all about the condescending grace of the Son of God. You say, what is the condescending grace? Well, in the words of old Squire Parson, it is this: when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. I don't know about you, and I couldn't get to him, but thank God when the Holy Ghost came to where I was and raised me off of that deathbed of my sin. Thank God, friend, I got born again. Why? Because the Christ came to where I was. And again, and again. What about you? Would you be in hell tonight if it wasn't for again? Would you be in hell if God hadn't? What if he had came? My prayer was, Brother Joshua, my prayer was that Riley would get saved the first time God dealt with him. I said, but oh God, if he doesn't, would you stay on his trail? Oh God, would you go again? Oh God, would you convict him again? I say, preacher man, it's time to preach again. I say, choir member, it's time to sing again. I say, camp meeting, it's time to have it again. I tell you, thank God for the little word again. Amen. Again. Six times in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible said again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Brother Rule, how many years did you pastor? 42. I wonder how many times you could say, and in 42 years and all those services, pastoring them churches, you could get up there and look at them people and say, and again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, you know what you're going to say Sunday morning? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, you know what you'll say Sunday? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, thank God, I'm glad it came again. Amen. Again, again, everybody's doing their best. Everybody's doing their best in this hour. Again, as I said it last night, I'm not trying to repeat myself. We're always running after the new. We just need the old to do it again. There's some young men that are bowing under pressure week in and week out that believe that you can't build a church, you can't win people to God if you don't go after the ways of the world, if you don't go after this emergent movement. Can I tell you the same preaching that these men of God have done for generations will still get the job done in this hour. God can do it again. 1944, Dr. Percy Ray. God was working in Dr. Percy Ray's heart about something he wanted him to do. And Dr. Ray made this statement to the Lord. He said, God, you don't make other preachers do it, so why do I have to do it? He argued with the Lord and argued with the Lord. Finally, he went out, got on a train, and rode the train to Coolidge, Arizona to preach. Man, no power of God. Man, all of a sudden he got choked up in his voice, and the whole place was full of tuberculosis. He told that preacher, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm not getting sick. There's a little church in Mississippi. He had won about the whole half the town to God. And they told him if he'd ever want to come back and preach, just to give him a half a day's notice, and they'd have a crowd there to hear him preach. Percy Ray pulled up on the train that night. They had the service ready. He went in there and began to preach. But before he could ever get done, the people had their hands over their mouth murmuring, Percy Ray can't preach. Percy Ray can't preach. He said they came back the next night. Nobody came. And Dr. Ray said, where's the crowd? And they said, Dr. Ray, they said you can't preach anymore. He went home and went to, I'm just talking about, he's preached in that pulpit. The great, probably one of the greatest men of God, probably at one time, he got on the Mississippi River and held America together at the mid part of this country. Amen. You say, I don't like him. Well, his results were undeniable. Amen. He wouldn't have tried to win a popularity contest when he was here. And he wouldn't be one today either. Matter of fact, I don't know that our generation could take that kind of preaching. Amen. The city went to Smoky Mount, North Carolina, preached. 35 to 40 people came to the altar, lost, needing to get saved. Said no more power in the service. The whole 35 and 40 went back. None of them got saved. Said it grieved Percy Ray so bad. He began to pray anything, anytime, anywhere. Lord, I need that power back again. Lord, would you do anything, anytime, anywhere? It wasn't long until he found himself in Inman, South Carolina, in a large, socially elite church, and he had been praying anything, anytime, anywhere. And about that time, they called on a man to come lead the song, and the God told Percy Ray, he said, I want you to go up on that platform, and I want you to shout. And Percy Ray said, Lord, that'll scare them to death. They've never seen anything like that. He said, Lord, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll just let me get to the end of the service, about 2 miles down the road, there's a fork in the road and a large stand of pine trees. He said, if you'll just let me get out of this service, he said, I'll go down to that pine tree thicket. I'll shout till the sun comes up. He said, the Lord said, the only thing about that is nobody will see you. And man, he said, I thought you said anything, anytime, anywhere. And about that time, they called on somebody to lead Amazing Grace, and they said Percy Ray flat-footed the pulpit, and they said he began to preach, and he said he shouted for a shout. He said he shouted for an hour and 39 minutes while they sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Brother Gillum, I believe he was celebrating a little bit. He shouted and shouted. You say what happened? 116 people walked the aisle that night and got born again while he shouted. shouting. I'm telling you, perseverance said anything, anytime, and anywhere. I would to God some of us would get so hungry that we want God to do it again. God, do it again in our family. God, do it again in my children. God, do it again in my marriage. God, do it again in our Sunday school class. God, do it again in the church. God, do it again in the choir. God, do it again at the workplace. That we get to the place we said anything, anytime, anywhere. Will you say, preacher, I said we need God to do it again. Amen. Brother Lane, I'm afraid most places the Holy Ghost didn't show up, it wouldn't change the service one bit. Amen. But Brother Smeltzer, if we're going to get the job done in this demon-possessed hour we live in, the only option we have, Brother Bagwell, is what you preached to us in March. We're going to have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't believe the hype, boys. Everybody's running after this 21st century. They want a 21st century church. I don't think they've ever improved on the first century church, where they were going house to house and breaking bread, and they were being saved every day. They were being saved and added to the church daily. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I believe if I wanted a ministry in this day, I'd want a ministry like the Lord. You say, what kind of ministry was it? Just flip your page of your Bible, one where you can see this is the gospel according to who is that? Saint, who? Mark. Is there something in front of his name? Saint Mark. We ought to take time out. Let Brother Jordan or Miss Kim or Miss Shelby come to the piano and play. And we ought to celebrate for an hour. We ought not to calm down. We ought to shout on the fact that that Bible said that was the gospel according to Saint Mark. What are you saying, preacher? Acts 13, Mark turned his back and went back. He went back, turned his back on Paul, turned his back on that missionary journey. We don't know why. There was no excuse. There was no reason. You say, why did God not put it there? Or could it be so you and I could put whatever our reason is? When we turn our back, when we pour mouth, we say, I'm going back. I'm not going on. I mean, it got so bad in Acts 15, there was sharp contention. And listen, those two good men went separate ways. But before it was all over and Paul was about to die, he made this statement. He said, Lord, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he's profitable to the ministry. What about that? One that had turned his back. One that said, I'm not going anymore. Lord, listen, Paul, somewhere on the way, Paul thought he disqualified himself. But when it was all said and done, Paul said, bring him with you, for he's profitable under the ministry. I don't know about you, but if God didn't have a restoring ministry, there wouldn't one of us be sitting on a pew. There would be one worthy to sing. There would be one worthy to preach. But thank God Almighty, he's got a restoring ministry. We're so quick to just throw them by the way. Could it be that we just don't have as much invested in them as he does? If he didn't have a restoring ministry, I wouldn't get to be here tonight. You'd say, stay away. You don't belong. But he didn't just restore him. He let him write a book to the Bible. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, young person, you may have messed up. You may have given away something you can't ever get back. But God say you could draw a line in the sawdust tonight and say, by the grace of God, I'm not going any further. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to mess up. And God has got the ability to restore. I don't know about you, friend. Maybe you take your little halo off and put it up. But if I live with you long enough, let me have about 30 minutes with your children or 30 minutes with your spouse, and they'll tell me that you need a restoring ministry. But thank God, these last 24 years, I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away, but it put me back on the potter's wheel and made it over again, because he's got a restoring ministry. There may come a day, Samuel, when you come home, I hope it never happens, and you've made a mistake in your life, and you're going to break your daddy's heart. But son, there's something about that will never change. There's something tacked onto the end of that Samuel. It shields. And it don't matter what you do, nothing will ever change that. How long you been saved, sir?
49 years.
Has he ever had to restore you along the way?
Yes, sir.
Hey, some of us preachers, we need to take our doctorate off the wall and our master's off the wall and all our degrees off the wall and realize we had been out a long time ago. Had God not let us crawl. God not let us crawl in a secret place privately before him and bear our heart to God. What about a restoring ministry? Hey, what about a revealing ministry? You look in that chapter 1, how did he reveal it? He revealed it through his preaching. It said Jesus came preaching. Amen. Let me say that again. Jesus came preaching. In a day where teaching is doing the dominating, I thank God there was a leather-lunged Holy Ghost man of God that mounted a pulpit the morning I was to get saved. And thank God I got saved. The Bible said in these last days he chose to manifest his word through preaching. I want to thank God for the preacher. I want to thank God for the message. Oh, thank God he revealed himself through preaching. He revealed himself, and I can say more. Let me just say this to you preachers. Every generation of preachers is responsible for every generation of sinners. I like the way Brother Edgar said it. And if you don't agree with it, don't come argue with me when I get done. Because I might be tired and ill. I might just feel like whooping you. Amen. I mean, when you're as heavy as this and this is hot like this, I mean, half of them is in my shoes now, praise God. In a minute, I'm going to pour it back down my shirt so I can get back up on the top side. Brother Edgar said this. He said, the work of the saint is on the shoulders of the Son of God. The Bible said he ever lived to make intercession for us. If the work of the saint's on the shoulder of the Son of God, who's the work of the sinner on? Sound like to me it's on the work of the church. Amen. And we're doing our best to pass it along, just like we are a national debt. Pass it along, pass it along, pass it along. But God's called us to preach, to win this. The Bible said that David served his generation by the will of God. Preaching. What about in powerful demonstrations? He was powerful in his picking demonstrations. Look who he picked. The Bible said he picked Simon, verse 12 and 13. What about that? Now, Brother Dagenhart, if I'd have been picking, Simon probably wouldn't have been the one. But the thing was, Christ could see further than Simon. Right. He saw Peter. Amen. Amen. What about you? You think God would have picked you if he couldn't have saw by your liquor breath, if he couldn't have saw by your wicked lifestyle, if he couldn't have saw by your dead religion? But aren't you glad? Thank God there was power. Oh, when it came time to pick you, thank God he was powerful in that picking demonstration. What about them public demonstrations? In that chapter 1, he had them public demonstrations that he was more powerful than the devils. He was more powerful than disease. And then he was more powerful than defilement. Only man in the Word of God ever touched a leper on purpose. Why? Because he was so much alive, he was not worried about the death jumping off the leper and jumping off him. Glory to God. I think you said the old brother's name this morning was Paul. Paul, he said if his spit was God, praise God. Amen. What did he do? He anointed that boy with himself. But I like this part. It wasn't just public demonstrations. Chapter 1, there were some private demonstrations. The Bible said he entered into the house, Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I'm glad it's not all about up here. Boys, hear me. If you think it's all about there, you won't last. It's more about somewhere up yonder in the trees the secret place with the Lord. He had a revealing ministry. Then he had a renewing ministry. He went out apart to pray. If the Son of God needs to come apart, how much more do we need to come apart? Amen. I'm preaching right here and I'm done. Come on, Brother Jordan, back to the piano. I know you're hot and I'm going to hurry. I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought. It said again, he entered into Capernaum. I want to preach on, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Brother Curtis, I'm looking for God to. If you're less than 35 years old, stand up. Come here, Brother Steve. If there's anything that ought to encourage you about the future of Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting. You know there's camp meetings you and I both preach in. They ain't one section of those young people in that whole meeting. But look at here. But can I tell you, Brother Joshua, we're not going to be able to live off what God did for them. He was not able to live off what God did for Brother Little. Amen. Somewhere along the way, God said, I'm going to do it again for you. Celebrating 53 years of again. Of again. Let me ask you, young people, when are you going to learn how to celebrate? You from Brother Steve's church? The young lady? Are you from Brother Steve's as well? I don't know. Okay. Let me have a young lady from Brother Dagenhart's church come here to me. Hurry. We got a young lady under this group right here. Brother Steve's church, come here, sweetheart. Give me a Holy Ghost shouting woman out of your church. Let me have. Georgia Ann, come here. That's right. That little one just shouted this morning. Where'd she go? She's out. Give me another one. Crystal, come here. Yeah, I've seen you get habit, Brother Suits, and here last year. Everybody okay? I like it when my tonsils are hanging out and my lips are purple. I'm not going to embarrass you. But have you ever got so happy that it just bubbled up in you and you got to shouting? I'm glad you could say yes. Aren't you glad you just don't have to sit over here and watch them get happy anymore and wonder what that's all about? Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't say, now, honey, just not yet. You don't have 5 children and a husband and a job and a Sunday school class. Aren't you glad God didn't say, just stay over there a little bit longer? And aren't you glad when it got to bubbling up, God said, won't you just come over here? Why don't you just come over here and worship with me? Why don't you come over here and enjoy it on this side? I wonder when some of you teenagers are going to decide that watching is not enough and hearing is not enough, and you want God to do it in your heart. Some of you boys say, well, I ain't going to act like that. You better watch that. That's what I used to say. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to live clean. You ain't got to do everything Brother Edgar says. I found out real quick, he knew a whole lot more than I thought he did. You say, what if it embarrasses my teenage boys? Then it's just going to have to embarrass them. Amen. But it wasn't too long ago at youth camp one night, I looked down there, my little 12-year-old boy was bent over. Tears are dripping off his face. Hands up. I thought he's about to take his first lap. I looked at that preacher beside me. I said, if he runs, I said, I'm going to run whether I feel it or not. Amen. Hey, listen, some of y'all are waiting for the stars to align. Some of you are waiting for the moon to align. Some of you are waiting to a burdenless existence. But it's never going to happen. But honey, I read my Bible this afternoon. It said rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. It didn't say anything about how I feel or what I feel led to do. It said rejoice. How old are you, brother? You ever just got real happy? I'm not picking on you. See, I've not got a shouting spirit. I done refereed too much high school basketball for these deadhead Baptists to say they don't have a shouting spirit. You done hollered at me one too many times for me to believe that. You got any babies yet? Are you married yet? Let's keep it that way about them babies till you get married. Who's going to teach your boy how to worship if you have one? Who's going to teach your little girl how to worship? How about you? 13, 14? 20. Give me 5 on that. I guess low, praise God. I ain't stupid. I may big and look dumb, but I ain't. I used to love it when our teenagers used to bring their friends to church because I knew it was going to get on. Because I knew them old shouting granny women in the choir was going to embarrass them, tear them all to pieces. But you know what? It finally got to the place they didn't care anymore. And son, if you find one that don't like how you worship, there's a whole lot more where she came from. Amen. Can I tell you more than you need a degree? And if my boys are going to college and get one, may I say more than you need a good wife, more than you need a good four-wheel drive truck, more than you need an education, you need God somewhere in your little life to break it on you, just like he did that little paralytic man that couldn't get to him. I want to bless the day that God broke it in my heart, and it's never been the same. But if he's going to do it again, 3 things and I'm done. If I was you, I'd just stand here and think about getting happy. Can I tell you, I come to church looking to get happy. Brother Gillum, I don't want church when I get to heaven to be the first time I celebrate. I mean, every once in a while, I just want to. And if I get happy, you better watch out. That's a whole lot of flesh flying around. If you're going to get to God, God's going to do it again. There's some obstacles that are going to have to be addressed. They were going to get that paralytic man to God. They were, help yourself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're going to get to God, there's a crowd between you and him. The Bible said they couldn't even get in the door. There was such a press. Help yourself. Glory to God. Sounds a little bit like celebration. Sounds a little bit like celebration. Glory to God, Brother Kiever. I'm not looking for some new way. I'm looking for what you and Miss Kiever had all these years. If we're going to get to him, there's a crowd. A crowd. There's a crowd of preachers for us. And some of us, he'll never do it again in our life, Brother Richie, because we can't get through the crowd. That boy would have died a paralytic had them 4 that bore him had not got through the crowd. Some of you teenagers, if you don't learn how to get through the crowd, you ain't going to do it. Some of them don't get saved because they can't get through the crowd. Some moms and dads, God can't do it again because you can't lay your pride down long enough for God to do it for you. There's a crowd to get by. But then there's a climb to get by. Some of the most depressing people I hang around with are preachers. It's all about how this one got done wrong and that one got done wrong. And if we all want to take out and show our wounds, every one of us has got them. If you've got anything to say about the work of God, please don't sit around these children, bite your tongue off, spit it in the dirt, stomp on it. Hey, they don't need to hear that. They need to hear us know that the grace of God is sufficient. And no matter what comes our way, God's good. There's a climb. Climb, Brother Rule. You think it was easy to carry a paralytic man up a ladder on top of a roof and get him down? You think that wasn't easy? Hey, Brother Jordan, how long have you taken piano? 5 years old? How old are you now? 20 years. So what you're telling me this climb wasn't easy. Your climb on that piano wasn't easy, was it? Miss Kim, was your climb on the piano easy? Oh, no. Boys, let me tell you something. Your climb preaching ain't going to be easy, but it's worth every step. It's worth every rung. It's worth every tear. Thank God when God breaks it on you, does it again. crowd, a clown. But they were some clay. Most of our problems not the clown. Most of our problems not the crowd. Most of our problems are clay. We can't get the clay out of the way. But if God will do it again, if there's some obstacles we'll address. Number two, I'm hurrying. Not only obstacles to be addressed, but there's some opportunities to be blessed. Come here, Brother Brent, help me. Come here, Miss Katie, help me. Opportunities to be blessed. The whole purpose of getting that clay off was those folks had a burden that they were trying to get to Jesus. Y'all been married 10 years, maybe? 9. What about that? I'm getting old and I still remember that. And in your young married life, there was some real burdens. Just trying to get to Christ, trying to get past the crowd, trying to get past the climb, trying to get past the clay. But when the clay got gone, you say, how am I going to get blessed? Because there's a burden that was let down. Just let her down. You say, what happened when the burden got let down? The bridegroom looked up. When the clay got off and the burden got down, the bridegroom looked up. What about that? Some of you have toted it and toted it and toted it. And some of you, listen, are in here. Your kids are from broken homes. And that guilt in your heart, you think it's your fault. You think, man, I should have done something different. That guilt, that burden is about to break your spirit. Can I tell you, you can get past the crowd. You can get past the climb. You can get past the clay and let your burden down. And all of a sudden, he was down there ministering to everybody else. But he saw your burden coming through the ceiling. And all of a sudden the bridegroom looked up. And all of a sudden everything he was doing stopped. Except your burden. Good God in heaven. And you know what? All them burdens you went through all them years ago, the same bridegroom is still waiting to look up again. Obstacles to be addressed. Opportunity. I wonder how many moms and dads could walk away from here tonight knowing God could do it again if they could just get their burden to Him. I believe I got to watch Jordan pour out his burden last night. That blessed my heart. I laid in my bed last night and prayed. I didn't even have to know what his burden was. I said, God, you do. And I can't take it, but you can. I'm about done. Everybody okay? I wish some of you young people just decide I'm going to get happy. There's two things. The thing I love most about teen camp, Brother Dagenhart, is this. I get to see teenagers, some of them worshiping the Holy Ghost for the very first time. There's only one thing. Brother Kiever, come here and help me. Preacher, come help me for just a minute. There's only one thing that I'd rather see more than a teenager worshiping the Holy Ghost for the first time. I want to see one of these war horses that's fought the battle for about 70 years. Scars and wounds on their soul. He preached with me. We preached over in West Georgia. Just got done with his 40th chemo treatment. And he preached on why I'm not most miserable. You say, what'd he do? This old battle horse worshiped God. And it gave me grace to know that I can do it again. I can do it again. That one old boy got satisfied. He walked away carrying the bed that used to carry him. Now the sign of his sickness was the sign of his cure. Not only was that boy satisfied, but the Son of God got identified. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." That word son put him in the family. They identified himself to who he was. I wonder if we're ever going to get to the place in our generation that we're going to ask God to do it again. Some of us moms and dads, some of us preachers, we ought to weep ourselves to God on a platform, a pulpit in the sawdust, and beg God to do it for another generation if we never see it again. I give this illustration and I'm done. I guess the Lord's letting me preach this way to humble myself. I want to have it all together, I really do. And I promise you I do, it's up there. But God's going to just cut me down to size. Y'all let him do that if y'all don't care. Little boy, his mama got killed in a tragic car accident. The little boy didn't say a word. The entire time of the funeral planning, didn't say anything at the viewing, didn't say anything at the funeral service, didn't say anything at the graveside service. But he was standing off in a distance, and they began to let his little mother down into the grave. And that little boy came tearing across that cemetery screaming, "Don't put my mama in that hole. Don't put my mama in that hole." His daddy reached and scooped him up, tried to console him. They put him in that big family car and they started home. That little boy began to scream. That daddy said, "When's my mama coming home? When's my mama coming home? When's my mama coming home?" And that daddy didn't mean to. That daddy snapped at that little boy and said, "Boy, hush. Your mama's never coming home." The little boy just sunk his head, didn't say a word the whole ride home. Got in the house, all the boys went to the bedroom. The dad went to his bedroom, shut the door, sat down in the dark. And it wasn't long, Brother Jordan, till a knock came on that daddy's door. And it was that least little boy. And Brother Bagwell, that little boy said, "Daddy, since my mama's not coming home, is it okay that I sleep with you?" And that daddy said, "Yeah, come on in, son. Come on in." Brother Brent, stand up here and help me. It wasn't long, that little daddy and that little boy laid down. Lights went off. And all of a sudden, that daddy felt that little boy's hand rubbing his head. And finally, he got down. And that daddy snapped. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, what you don't know is that I'm scared of the dark." He said, "Daddy, I'm trying to find your eyes." He said, "Because, Daddy, if I can tell your eyes are looking my direction, I'm going to be able to lay down and go to sleep." Can I tell you, some of you tonight don't need him to fix it tonight. You don't need to fix him to fix it tomorrow. All you need to get close enough to God tonight that you can run your hands across his face and let him know that his eyes are looking your direction. And you can know this, if he's looking your direction, it won't be long till he does it again. I don't know about y'all, but I had a Holy Ghost mother. And she didn't have to stand up and clap her hands in church and tell me to behave. All she had to do was cut her eyes my direction. And I can about tell you how long she stared as to how many licks it was going to be. There's been some times that I couldn't touch his hand, but I could feel his eyes. I'm preaching tonight. I'm not preaching on Go Show John again. I'm preaching on it again. He entered into Capernaum. I wonder how many of us tonight, you know what, some of us preachers, we're the pastor now, we're the man of God, and we forgot how to celebrate. I don't ever want to be about going to a meeting to get meetings. If God can't put me in a meeting, I don't deserve to be in it. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be worried about who's there and who ain't there. I want, if God gets on me, if I have to swing or walk that pole right there, I want to be willing to do it. I wonder how many of us men of God, if we could really have our dream, could walk back to our pulpit Sunday morning, put your hands on your pulpit, and let God do it again. Not for your friend, not for your best, not for your pastor, not for your mentor, but for God to do it again for you. What I'm asking you is, do you want God to do it again? Maybe some of you youngins, he's never done it before. I don't think there's going to be an atmosphere more conducive to this for God to do it. We're standing, they're going to sing. I'm asking, how many of us would make our way to an altar and say, God, would you please do it again?